I put my whiskey glass on the floor.
Tell me, I said, where is this place? How long have you been here? What do you do here?
You have to leave now,
said the woman as if she had just recalled what she was doing.
If he finds you here, there'll be trouble. He's even more dangerous than you think. He might kill you. I wouldn't put it past him.
Who is this he?
The woman didn't answer, and I didn't know what else to say. I felt lost. Nothing stirred in the room. The silence was deep and thick and suffocating. My head felt feverish. The pollen might have been doing it. Mixed with the air, the microscopic grains were penetrating my head and sending my nerves haywire.
Tell me, Toru Okada,
said the woman, her voice suddenly very different. The quality of her voice could change in an instant. Now it had become one with the room's thick, heavy air.
Do you ever think you'd like to hold me again? That you'd like to get inside me? That you'd like to kiss me all over? You can do anything you want to me, you know, and I'll do anything you want. Anything. Things that your wife, Kumiko Okada, would never do for you. I'll make you feel so good. You'll never forget it. If you...
With no warning at all, there was a knock on the door. It had the hard, precise sound of a nail being driven straight in, an ominous sound in the dark. The woman's hand came out of the darkness and took me by the arm.
Come this way, she whispered. Hurry.
Her voice had lost the dreamy quality now. The knocking started again, two knocks with precisely the same force. It occurred to me that I hadn't locked the door.
Hurry, she said. You have to get out of here. This is the only way.
I moved through the darkness as the woman drew me on. I could hear the doorknob turning slowly. The sound sent chills down my spine. At the very moment the light from the corridor pierced the darkness, we slipped into the wall. It had the consistency of a gigantic mass of cold gelatin. I clamped my mouth shut to prevent it entering. The thought struck me, I'm passing through the wall. In order to go from one place to another, I was passing through a wall. And yet, even as it was happening, it seemed like the most natural thing to do. I felt the woman's tongue entering my mouth. Warm and soft, it probed every crevice and it wound around my own tongue. The heavy smell of flower petals stroked the walls of my lungs. Down in my loins, I felt a dull need to come. Clamping my eyes closed, I fought it. A moment later, I felt a kind of intense heat on my right cheek. It was an odd sensation. I felt no pain, only the awareness of heat. I couldn't tell whether the heat was coming from the outside or boiling up inside me. Soon everything was gone, the woman's tongue, the smell of flowers, the need to come, the heat on my cheek, and I passed through the wall. When I opened my eyes, I was on the other side of the wall, at the bottom of a deep well. 9. The Well and Stars. How the Ladder Disappeared. The sky was already bright just after 5 in the morning, but even so I could make out a lot of stars overhead. It was just as Lieutenant Mamiya had told me. From the bottom of a well, you can see stars in the daylight. Into the perfect half-moon slice of sky, faintly glowing stars were packed neatly, like specimens of rare minerals. Once before, when camping on a mountaintop with some friends when I was 10 or 11, I had seen stars in such numbers that they filled the sky. It almost seemed as if the sky would break under the weight of all those things and come tumbling down. Never had I seen such an amazing sky full of stars. Unable to sleep after the others had drowsed off, I crawled out of the tent and lay on the ground, looking at the sky. Now and then a shooting star would trace a bright arc across the heavens. The longer I watched, though, the more nervous it made me. There were simply too many stars, and the sky was too vast and deep. A huge, overpowering foreign object, it surrounded me, enveloped me, and made me feel almost dizzy.